Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting. All right. Welcome. We want to say welcome to Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight and every night to our friends who are all around the world joining us for tonight's program for this time of interactive Bible study that we have on a regular basis. We welcome you. We welcome you tonight. You know, this week we added Poland and Belgium. You may have been listening for a while, but you just got on my analytics this week on my dashboard. And we welcome you. We're glad to have you wherever you are. We encourage you to share this with everybody in your nation. Anybody that's around you, share it with them. Because the more we put this out, the farther the message of faith goes. And that's what our Father wants us to do. It says about Jesus, well, Jesus is actually the one that said it. Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the whole world. And so tonight we're going to do our part of preaching this gospel of the kingdom to the whole world. And we want you to be a very valuable part of that with us. And for all of the nations around the world, I've been saying this now for a couple of weeks. If you have a good grasp, a good handle, I like to say it, on your native language, and you are interested in getting this message of faith that we teach here at the Community of Faith translated into your language, I want to encourage you to get in contact with me, because some of you have such a burning desire to help some of you, the people in your nation, come to this knowledge and understanding of this word of faith that we're teaching here. And I believe God has given me a revelation and an understanding of how to make that happen. And I really, really, really want to see you contact me and say, hey, preacher man, show me how to do it. Because here's the thing. As soon as we can get this message into your nation, and we can begin to help people realize how much God loves them, and to realize that God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of our faith. And he gives every one of us the faith that we need. And if we can get that message into the hands of everybody, I'm going to tell you right now, I am pretty excited about the possibilities that that's going to produce, not only in your life, but in the life of everyone that would hear you and be around you. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to do all that. You don't have to know how. We know how. I just need some willing folks that'll say, all right, help me figure out how to do this. And then the experience we have here over the last 2 years, we'll get this mission accomplished. And you'll be standing there smiling, saying, look at how many people in my nation actually know that Jesus is Lord and that faith is available for them. You know, I mean, think about it. Those of you that's with me on Zoom, of all the people in the world that don't understand faith, we do. And that should put such a deep appreciation for God's love and mercy and grace on the inside of us. That should put such a deep thanksgiving in our lives that, I don't know, to me, I think about it every day. Of all the preachers in the world that don't understand faith and don't understand the Bible, how it all works, I am so grateful that I understand it. And it's why I work so hard and so diligently to get this message preached wherever I can, because I want everybody I know to know this message. And then, of course, yeah, I know we can't force anybody to know it. We wouldn't want to. And yet, and not forcing. I don't want to force anybody, but I want the door wide open so that everybody who comes in contact with Samuel J. Cottle has the opportunity to know our God and to walk with him every day. And I know that's a long introduction, but I meant every word of it, and I'm serious about helping people find the revelation of this. I see the fact that Jesus is coming so soon, and there's so many people who do not know yet. I would go night and day, and many days do, to get this message into your life and help you see the simplicity of the gospel and to know who God is in our lives, in Jesus' mighty name. I have for many years had as my focus verse of my own life, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I just keep saying, quit trying to complicate it. Quit trying to complicate it. Quit trying to complicate it. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul. Honest toil, not necessarily the diligence in working hard, but all the toil, which is labor with stress and strain. That ain't God. And I continually say it all the time, Father, help us learn how to function outside of that stress and that toil so that we won't be bound by that all the days of our life, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Brother Dave Villiard, welcome, man. Good to have you with us tonight. Haven't seen your mom on in a while. Is everything good there, brother? Just make sure you tell her that we said hi and we love her. And she's always welcome to be here and be a part of what's happening at the Community of Faith. Now, it looks to me like Blog Talk Radio is running, YouTube Live, or no, Facebook is running, and the Zoomers are up. And let's speak a couple words of our opening prayer, and then we'll get started here with our word for tonight. We're going to need to have plenty of time for this word, because this is a good word. Don't you love it when God gives us a good word? I love it when he gives us a good word. And then just gives us the assignment to get it out there into everybody's hand. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Here we go. We had a long opening, so I'm going to forego the pledge today, but we'll get right into our prayer, our opening prayer. prayer this evening. And I'm going to say to the Zoomers, I'm going to mute your mics, because if I don't do that, then it'll make your picture big and the words go away, I believe. At least that's what it seems to do. But we'll be back on here in just a minute. Here we go. Let's say the opening prayer together. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and that glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And in your home, speak it right out loud. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. Hebrews 6:10, God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love which we have shown toward his name, in that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed I am sowing now to bless others. Luke 6:38. I give, of my time, talent, and treasure. And I know that what I give will be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in the same measure. And now, we fulfill the Great Commission today. And Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. And now we speak the commanded blessing of unity. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing, life evermore. Thank you, Father, for your blessing on our lives. And now we declare all believers are one and the same in God our Father. Pause for a minute. Father, all the way across this nation tonight, wherever there is a church service that is going, a Bible study, home group, cell group, home church, crusade, camp meeting, Saturday night worship practice, all across this nation and around the world where church is already going on inside church buildings all over the world. We speak these words, this word of God, over the body of Christ. We add our faith to the international network of prayer and faith, and we receive from it the word of Almighty God and the strength from it. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. Speak it boldly. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace on your gift in my life. Let's say that last line again. Thank you, Father, for your grace on your gift in my life. And now, let's speak over all of our brothers and sisters who join with us regularly. Where'd you guys go? There you are. From around the world. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless the believers in these nations that are a part of this program. The United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tunisia, Oman, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, China, and New Guinea, and all the nations of the world. In the name of Jesus, receive this word of faith that we are speaking tonight. And now we bless the fivefold ministry. Verse 11, Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, right now, all over the world, every fivefold ministry gift that is functioning right now, we declare the blessing of the Lord comes upon them. Every man or woman of God that is standing in the pulpit to bring life and life more abundantly, in the mighty name of Jesus, life, the abundant life of God, flow in Jesus' mighty name. The abundant life of God, flow. May there be a flow of the Holy Spirit all over this world on this Father's Day Sunday. May fathers be filled with the Holy Spirit and lead their family in the heavenly prayer language and the life of the Spirit. We declare it and we proclaim it. We ask you for it. But we also know that we're right in line with your word, doing and speaking it like we are. Here's the result. We speak this result in the body of Christ all over the world, that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Speak it right out loud with me. Father, expose their wicked plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This last line is for you and me. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. Father, today, tonight, we bless the executive branch and we speak revival. We bless the judicial branch and we speak revival, and that our judges no longer legislate from the bench, but that they just simply do their job as judges, actually representing you for liberty and justice for all. May there be revival in the legislative branch. Our senators and representatives be men and women of God, Sunday school teachers, pastors, theologians. May we return to the days of our founding and have such a righteous stand here in the United States of America that the wicked people just flee here and no longer want to be here or be a part of what we're doing. And we say, turn from your wicked ways and find our God. Here we go. Speak it out, right out loud in your home with me. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, every patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. May God bless America. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now we'll pray the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this long. Will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And now let's go to war as we've built our faith up with the Word of God. Go to war with me against the isms. Now you've turned from being a believer that stands in the gap with each other, and now you're a warrior. Can't close your eyes when you're a warrior. We face an enemy. We draw the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we attack this enemy and command it to bow to its knee to Jesus. Say it with me. In the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion, in the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus. Bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. To all the isms, you have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you, not our Bibles or our rifles. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom and liberty to fall into, we declare you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 144:14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are rebuilding, the walls of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you for being a part of this time of prayer, and we call it prayer and confession. And we're glad to have you here tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Sister Mary, Pastor Rick, Audrey Van Gessel, Brother Dave Villiard, Rebecca Smith, Kathy Sadati, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Got a good bunch of folks on Facebook tonight. All y'all on Facebook that join with us, make sure you click like or love or something. And that way we have an understanding of who's here with us, and we'll be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. Brother Dan, Brother Roger, Sister Phyllis is over here on the Zoom with us. And if you don't see your favorite, one of your good friends in the community of faith with us, then go get him. Tell him, all y'all get over here. It's going to be a good word tonight. God has given me a good word, and it answers a question that we've been asked many times. And that question is this. Will I still sin after I'm born again? Does God take away all my sin and I never sin again? What happens if I sin again? All right. And we're going to go through the Bible on this tonight. And I believe God has given me a whole different picture on this than I've ever had before. Now, maybe you'll listen and say, well, Pastor, that just sounds like the same thing you've been teaching. I don't know. I think I've got a whole new point of view on it. And what's interesting is that God very, very specifically the other day had me sit down and write this whole outline out in about 15 minutes. He hit me with it and said, sit down and write it out now. And I believe this is going to be so strong tonight that you're going to want to mark this in one way or another so that you can share this with other people, because there's a lot of people who believe it's no big deal what you do after you're born again. And I'm going to show you from the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of Paul and other places in the New Testament that there's a very, very specific answer to this. And as we get into it, it'll be a blessing. Now, let's welcome all of our visitors from around the world, wherever you may be. If you were just with us while we were praying, we pray like that every night because if nobody in America is saying some specific prayers and driving back the enemy with their prayer, then the enemy doesn't have to be driven back. It is a forceful advance crushes our enemy. And you and I are the authority on this earth, and that power. Many people have never been a part of a very serious prayer meeting. I put the words up in front of us by the leadership of the Holy Spirit so that every one of us can be saying the exact same words in faith. And that makes this prayer very, very powerful. Oh, I guess I could turn my camera back on. Very, very powerful in its effect. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. And now tonight, if you have a prayer request that you'd like us to pray for, you can share it in the comments and somebody will get it pinned and it'll come to us. We'll pray the prayer of faith over you. God called this a healing room where people can come and be healed. And we've seen many people healed and many people's lives blessed and changed forever. And faith is going to grow in your heart tonight. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. We have a place for everybody who is listening to us tonight to help us do the work of the ministry so that you and I can stand together, arm to arm into arm, shoulder to shoulder, facing our enemy and see him driven out. One of the updates I want to give you, in the midst of everything that doesn't seem to be changing by the prayers that we pray, I saw a report this week. Over two-thirds of President Biden's staff have resigned and had to be replaced to our prayer. And if you don't understand that prayer, my prayer is these people are perverse. They're wicked. They're violating their oath of office. And so I'm saying, God, remove them from their office. And may their staffers say, I don't want nothing to do with this. I've got to run away from this because the eyes of my understanding have been flooded with enlightenment. And I'm not going to be a part of this mess any longer. Well, and that's when I saw the report, that is exactly what's going on. And what they're saying is, to have anything to do with this administration is going to be bad on your resume politically in the future. Well, thank you, Lord, that these people are being known for who they really are and what they're doing. They're crashing our, they're trying to crash our economy on purpose. We command that all of their plans crash, and every person and nation who's trying to stand against this, that nation crashes, and that the stone you're trying to roll on us comes back on you and crushes you. I don't want to pray that prayer. I want to pray the prayer of just be born again and just change and may God help them. But I believe many of them are reprobate and there is no hope for them. And therefore, they must not be in our political positions, in our offices. And the only people to get them removed are you and me, the we the people. And if we don't say a prayer of God remove them, then it doesn't get done. This is combat. This is war, but not with an M16. The war we're doing is with the word of Almighty God, and that's the war against wickedness and unrighteousness and this vile perversion of our day. May every one of the people sing this curse of wicked perversion. May it just come back on you and destroy you like the book of Romans says it's going to do. And you come to your senses and turn before it's too late. In Jesus' mighty name. Anybody want to say it? God bless America.
God bless America.
Hallelujah.
God bless America.
God bless America. God bless the American church. God bless your family and my family, wherever they may be around the world. God bless them to be righteous and understand the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, grab your Bible. And let's get to the Word of God for this evening. We're going to go. We will begin tonight. We will begin tonight with a couple verses. the first verse we're going to go to is Proverbs. Oh, I don't have it written down. Holy Spirit's giving it to me as I'm going here. Proverbs 22:18, is that what it is? No, it's Proverbs chapter 6. There you go. Proverbs chapter 6. And it's verse 30 and 31. There it is. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. And then we're going to go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. So if you want to, get you a couple good markers for your Bible for tonight. We're going to be in a lot of verses and bounce back and forth. But that's our first two openings tonight. 1 Peter 5. There we go. And Proverbs chapter 6. Hold your Bibles up. Let's make our confession tonight like we do every day. This is my Bible. Waiting on my Zoomers. Are you ready? This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
God's Word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
You know, it's like we're saying it three times power. It's like the Trinity. I love it. The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life tonight.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return. In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 30 and 31. Now, this is interesting the way the Holy Spirit's telling me to start this out. But it'll be all right. Let's just follow his leadership. People, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. Yet, when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Now, I'm going to put it into a paraphrase. When the thief is found stealing, he must repay seven times and the substance of his whole house. I'm going to say it again. When the thief is caught stealing, he must repay seven times and all the substance of his house. Now, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love word.
1 Peter chapter 5. Amen. Those of you on Facebook, you might be shouting it in your house. I can't hear Brother Dave over there yet, but you can type it in. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 11. And I encourage you to open your Bibles right up, unless you're driving down the road, and look at this with your eyes, because faith comes by hearing, which you're hearing me right now, but it also comes by seeing. All right? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Peter warns us that the enemy is coming back to destroy us. And he warns us to be sober, to be vigilant, because the adversary we have, even though it's crushed and destroyed, is coming back to see if he can destroy you. Say it with me. You don't get to destroy me.
You don't get to destroy me or my family.
No. No. You don't get to devour me. You don't get to devour me. See, that's what he says. He's seeking whom he may devour. Well, you and I have to make a choice. You don't get to devour me. Adam and Eve in the garden, the enemy showed up, he got them. But we see the example of the Apostle Paul. He didn't get him. We see Jesus. The enemy didn't get Jesus. Jesus was the sinless sacrifice. He was the perfect example of righteousness, and then gave us his righteousness so that we could be righteous just like him. Peter said, I am warning you, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Go with me now to Luke chapter 22. If somebody could write all these verses down, type them in there, that would be very beneficial. It helps everybody else that's coming to be able to see it. And you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not a part of the ministry. If you're here watching and studying, you're part of the ministry. So type in the verses. Help us with those verses. We appreciate that. And we thank you for it. Luke chapter 22. And let's go down here. Let's go down here to verse 24, and we'll read down through 34. 24 to 34. Luke 22, 24 to 34. Now, let's just talk about this. If you look at verses 14 through 23, that's the Last Supper. Jesus is giving them the first communion service, and they have just gone through the last Passover that will ever be necessary. All right? And you and I can see that this is a very holy moment for Jesus. And he said, I've sought diligently with fervent desire to eat this with you. So he's done with that. And let's look at verse 24. Jesus has just told him, I am going out now to suffer. And verse 24, there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. How can they be missing it so badly that Jesus just told them, I'm going out in that garden to suffer, and now they start arguing about who's the greatest? And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise leaders, lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves him? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Remember, he had washed their feet on this night. What was he doing? He was serving them. Verse 28, but you are those who have continued with me in my trials. Look at verse 29. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. Here is Jesus at the Last Supper, giving the disciples the last instructions he's going to give them. And he prays the beautiful prayers of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And he talks to them a little bit about it, but then he says, I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. Now, verse 31. And the Lord said to Simon, 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 indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. He said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said to him, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. I want you to see something. We just saw in the book of Proverbs that the thief must repay when he's caught stealing. We just saw Peter say, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary is roaming around seeking if he can destroy you. And there's a reason Peter is the one that wrote that. Because Peter betrayed him. Peter has firsthand experience in being sifted and trialed and not coming out right. That time of testing and trial. And yet Jesus said, when you come back, strengthen your brother. Go with me to John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10, 10. Somebody shout, I love the word. I love the word.
I love the word.
Amen, brother.
The great amen.
The great amen. Thank you, Rebecca, for putting the verses in. We appreciate that. And those of you on YouTube, appreciate you putting them verses in too. God bless you for being there and being a part of what we're doing. I want you to see this tonight because I had so many people ask me the questions over the years. Well, once I'm saved, does it matter if I sin? Yeah, it does. Well, once I'm saved, Pastor, won't it be just all right? No, it's not all right. And we're getting ready to see some examples of this. But the greatest thing I want you to see is that Peter, who fell and denied Jesus, said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is coming back to sift you like wheat, and he wants your soul. John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Jesus, in the story of the Good Shepherd, told us that devil is the thief and he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And you and I are not exempt. We're not exempt from it. That enemy is going to continually be circling us. Why? Because he wants to destroy the work has done on the inside of us. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're moving right along here. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. It's Jesus at the well, with where the woman of the well was in Samaria. And he is teaching her about who he is and what's coming in the kingdom. Watch this. The hour is coming, and now is. Well, that means if that hour was then, it's then with 2,000 years of then-ness. Because it's still that hour, and even more important. And now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So you're going to worship the Father. Your communication with him is going to be in the realm of the Spirit and according to God's holy word, in the Spirit and in truth. Now look at 24 or 23. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. The Father is longing for you and I to be reconciled to him and then have a relationship with him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in the truth. That's how you and I reach him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I got to get these verses in because we got to get this foundation laid for where we're going. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So, God, before the foundations of the world, laid it out and established it that you and I would be his people and his children. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Watch what this says. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? It doesn't. And that's why you and I shouldn't be fellowshipping with the ways of the world. You have the Spirit of Christ living in you. And the more that you fellowship and act like the world, the more you violate or you vex or grieve or quench the Holy Spirit of God who's living in you. Verse 15, what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Nothing. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. That's why, as soon as you're born again, God, the first thing God's going to work on is the outward sins of your life, the cursing, and the coarse joking and jesting, and all those things that are public for people to see. He's going to work on it, and he's going to begin to give you conviction when you do it. I've met probably 1,000 people in my lifetime whom the moment they got born again or the moment they got filled with the Holy Spirit of God, God said to them, no more cursing, and it stopped immediately. Why? Not because Pastor Sam's saying it, because that is a vexation to the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you, that you would use the same terminology and the same processes that the world uses. Because that the world is of their father, the devil. And you have been made a new creation in Christ. Verse 16. God said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Want to say it with me? I am God's people. I am God's people. You am. Go ahead. Brother Richard Winslow, welcome. Good to have you with us tonight, man. Bless you, man. Love you. I haven't seen you, and it's been way too long. God said, I will dwell with them. I will dwell in them. He's in here. When you and I begin to go back and do those things we used to do, we are going against the blood of Christ that has saved you. Now, God isn't standing in heaven with a club beating you down, but he's continually telling you, I've filled you with the Holy Spirit. Get in the Word and see how this works. Verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. Do not be a part of what is unclean. Do not go take part in it of what is unclean. And I will receive you. But what if you don't? What if you go back and continually do that stuff? Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. You know, what we've got to see in this lesson this evening is that God Almighty has given you and I more than enough power and more than enough authority, more than enough answers in all of our lives that we don't have to in any way be a part of that old life that we live. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, you should be almost on the same page. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. This is what happens when you're born again. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. God creates you brand new on the inside. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. That is not a figure of speech. That is a reality, a truth, a principle law of God, that as soon as you're born again, all that old life is passed away, and everything on the inside of you becomes new. On the inside of me, you are made one with the Father on the spot, at that moment when you receive Jesus into your life. That's why on the inside it's such an amazing experience, because where there was darkness, light has now filled it, and your whole being is filled with light. Where there was confusion, there's no longer confusion, there's truth. And truth sets you free. Jesus is the greatest example of righteousness, and he gives it to you, and he fills you with it. See, that's why the doctrines of men that says, well, it doesn't matter, even though you're born again, you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. That is just wrong. I'm getting ready to show it to you. But this is what happens at the new birth. I'm 2 Corinthians 5:18. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So not only did God reconcile us to himself, which means there's no enmity, there's no animosity, there's nothing separating us. We've been reconciled to our Father. And not only are we reconciled, but he gives us the ministry of reconciling others to him. Watch. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, even though you were dead in your trespasses and sin. God has not held them against you. They're wiped away. They're thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. That's who our God is. He said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. My goodness, I got a ways to go yet, but is this all coming together, guys? Somebody shout a big amen or something.
Amen or something.
I figured you'd get the amen, Phyllis, and Roger would get the something. Nope, we lost him, just like that. Said his name and off he went. Come back, Roger.
I had to go get a drink of water.
Or he had a finger that puts the wrong button. Let's look at this. Matthew 13, 10 through 16. Look at what Jesus said. The disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Because everything Jesus did was in a parable. And he had just spoke to them the parable of the sower. Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, and I'm in verse number 11 now. Because it has been given to you, point your finger at yourself and say, yeah, to me. You know, Roger, I'm going to make a funny. Welcome back, Cotta.
I keep on losing you for some reason.
And, I know, I see that. But this is what we say. Just keep on coming back.
Yeah, I'll come back again.
All right, man. Now, right when you left, I told everybody to say amen or something, and the something was your part, so give us a big something.
I love the word, the great amen.
Here we go. I'm in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 11. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So as soon as Jesus comes into our life, reconciles us to the Father, automatically it's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Quit saying, I'm going to be real bold. Quit saying you can never understand God or his ways. He didn't say that. He said, your ways are not my ways. But he did not say, your ways can't be my ways. He said, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And then put his glory in us, put his kingdom in us, and he himself came and lived on the inside of us.
Okay, so you said the secret right there. His kingdom is in us.
His kingdom is in us. That's what we just read it. He just...
Yeah.
My kingdom...
But nobody seems to understand understand that.
Say again?
Nobody seems to understand that. Everybody thinks they're supposed to see it elsewhere.
Yep.
See it in the church, see it in the sky, see it in the birds, whatever. Amen.
But look, at it's even when we, that verse we just read where Jesus said that, he said, I have bestowed a kingdom upon you. You don't do something to deserve it. You reach out and receive it, and God brings that kingdom to you. He bestows a kingdom on you. I know that it stretches your modern day Western civilization understanding of I'm just going to receive this. I don't have to work for it. No, you don't have to work for this. You receive it.
Just live it and enjoy it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You don't have to work hard to be who you are. Unless, of course, you're working hard to be somebody else. But the greatest thing, one of the greatest things anybody's ever going to learn to do is just quit trying to make everybody else happy and be you and walk with God. Because if you are you and walk with God, everybody else will be happy. And those who aren't, you don't need them in your life anyways.
I knew somebody who was the worst potty mouth in the world. And all of a sudden, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And honey, she cringes when she hears anybody use that kind of language. She has never uttered a word like that again.
Yeah.
And that was like 65 years ago.
the change is forever. And
absolutely, the Holy Spirit is amazing.
Yep. And I think the problem that many people face with this is they get around people that say, "Oh, it doesn't matter," and they don't go study their own Bible. They just accept what somebody says. It was one of the greatest things that impressed me about Dr. Mark T. Barkley when I first met him. Because he would say in almost every message, and I'm telling you right now, don't you just believe what I'm saying to you. Search these verses to see if what I'm teaching you is actually so. Now, he's not saying, see where you can catch me in lying to you, because he wasn't lying. But his purpose was, stop just accepting what everybody is telling you and open your Bible and read it. And underlined it and find out for yourself what it says. Let's get back to Matthew 13, verse 12. Jesus said, for whoever has what? Seed sown in his heart, producing 30, 60, 100 fold, to him more will be given. And he'll have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Jesus isn't taking it away. The thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief is doing that. Jesus ain't taking it away from you. The devil's trying to come back to get you to do what you used to do. So when you do it, you lose your place. And he's trying to steal from you, kill you, and destroy you. And of course, when you willingly give into that and just say, well, it doesn't matter, whatever. No, it does matter. Look at what it says here. 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, and you will not understand. And seeing, you will see, and you will not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. What happened? They let their heart grow dull. Their ears, they're like it was when you was a child. Na, 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 I can't hear what you're saying. But they plug your ears. And their eyes, they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears. And lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I would heal them. And then verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. Read that verse out loud with me. Everybody read it. But blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. They hear. Thank you, Lord, that my life is blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Now, let's go down here to John chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 17. John 5, 1 through 17, and this is the story of Jesus at the sheep gate, the pool of Bethesda, and healing a man. Now, watch what Jesus says here. This revelation hit me this week, and it's like, wow, Jesus, help me make sure I get this out into the hands of other people so that they can see this truth. John 5, 1 through 17, and I'm going to just read this whole portion, and then I'll come back and talk about it. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. A certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to have a serious infirmity. How many times have we seen people, parents, who have spent their whole life caring for a child with the spirit of infirmity, of these whatever they call them, you know, autism and all of those different things. It's like that. And they've cared for him their whole life. That's what this man was. And thank God they care for him. But it's a spirit of infirmity that's got to get broken and driven out. Let's keep reading. Let's see. Had an infirmity. 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." So what is he saying? I really want to be healed, but I'm lower than low. I can't get it. Jesus said to him, "Well, then rise up, take up your bed and walk." What did he do? He painted a different picture for the man. Gave him a picture of walking and carrying his bed. Now, he's been spirit of infirmity. He's been on him for 38 years laying there. So to get up and to start walking, that's a big task in itself. And then to carry the cot that he was laying on, that's a bigger task. Let's see what happened. Immediately, the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them and said, "What did you want me to do? Leave it by the pool?" That was my version of it. "He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk." Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well." Look at this verse. "Sin no more." A worse thing comes upon you. Jesus just told the man who doesn't have the fact that he can be born again. He's not born again. He's not in the new covenant. He doesn't have a Bible. He doesn't have a church. Jesus hasn't died on the cross yet. And Jesus looks at this man and says, "Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you." He was delivered from the spirit of infirmity, and Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." Now, how in the world can anybody teach a doctrine after they read what Jesus just said to this man, that it'll be all right if you sin? Don't worry about it. It's all good. Jesus don't care. Jesus cares. He said it right here. You might say, "Yeah, but pastor, this is condemning me. What if I go and I sin? What happens if I sin? Am I going back to hell?" No, but what you're doing is building a relationship between you and your Father. And you're learning that you're not just a Christian, but you have been reconciled to the Father, and God Almighty just has come to live in you. And when you sin, you take him with you in the midst of that sin. Whether it's the sin of rage, sin of hatred, the sin of scorning and mocking someone, the sin of cursing, whatever it might be, sexual sin. It's not up to me to talk to you and be your conscience. I'm not that person. I am a man of God. I am anointed as a pastor in the fivefold ministry, as a teacher, as an apostle sent here to do this work. I must proclaim this word to you very boldly. Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." Unless you're going to take your pen out and your eraser and erase those words, we need to find out what Jesus is talking about and say, "Hold it. Jesus just said, go and sin no more. Why is that group of people telling me it's no big deal if I do?" I like how Brother Jesse says it. The Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." I pick what Jesus is teaching, not what the men are teaching. Let's keep reading. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Jesus not only said, "Punch you in the face," he said, "In the midst of all your Sabbath, my Father's still working, and so am I." What was he doing? He was helping them come to the revelation that all the law and the prophets hang on two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when you read the book of Hebrews, Colossians, it tells you that all of the feasts and everything in the Old Testament was a shadow of things to come. But there's no reason to stay in the shadow when the light comes. The light is here. You should not be in the shadow. You should be in the light. Pretty powerful. Powerful verse. Let's read another one. Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, 14 through 16. Anybody want to say God's serving up a good meal tonight? Man, I love this. This is...
God is serving up a good meal tonight.
Woo! Brother Terry Mize always says, I just want to be God's bakery delivery boy, bringing the bread of life to hungry folks.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You might, careful, fellas, you might get us all fired up and run around the church.
Luke where?
Luke 11, 14 through 26. I like how we do it here because we read a lot of verses. What? Oh, yeah, Luke 11, 14. There it is. All right. Phyllis, are you there? Can you read it?
Oh, yeah. Let me get my magnifying glass. All right.
Because I gotta go get my communion elements. And
okay. 14 through what?
26.
Okay. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub. That's another name for the devil. The ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do you, to whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God will come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. And who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters.
Amen.
You want me to read 24 also?
Oh, yeah.
When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state, that means the condition of that man, is worse than it had been in the beginning. More?
No, that's it. That's some very, very eye-opening verses. Because Jesus said right there, when an unclean spirit is cast out of a person, then that spirit wanders about seeking a home. And he's going to come back and try to get a home inside of you. And that's the verses we were reading about Jesus when he said that to Peter. Peter, Satan has desired to sift you. What was it doing, the enemy doing? It was coming back to take authority over Peter. And Jesus is saying, no, be the strong man. You're going to be sifted. The enemy is coming back. It not only wants to come back, it wants to bring seven demons with it. That's why it's so important that you and I learn to live in and walk in righteousness and get our roots in and our roots down and established in the place where God tells us to. Why? Because the enemy is coming back. And when it comes back, it's not coming back with just one. If it finds that place empty, it's going to go get seven and then come back and hit you even harder with seven more demons. And look at what that verse says. And it says, then it goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first or at the beginning. Now, there may be some of you tonight that are like, Pastor, you're scaring me. I don't mean to be scaring you. I am serious about this causing some alarm. Because once you've been delivered or healed of something, once you're born again, it is now of absolute importance that you keep walking in that same path that God told you to walk in. Because if you don't, it's not about us at the church or me as a pastor. It's about your life is now going to begin to be affected. And Jesus said to Peter, the devil is coming back for you. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is roaming around seeking whom he may devour. How is he going to get you to, how is he able to devour you? By you and I not resisting him steadfast in the faith and going back to the weak and beggarly elements which God has delivered us from. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. The book of Galatians, chapter 2. I know it's more fun when we're preaching about faith and moving mountain and conquering kingdoms and casting out demons and healing the sick. This is a very important message for every one of us to see. Why? Because we've got to make sure. We've got to be certain ourselves. Wait a minute. God delivered me from that. I'm not going back to it. God delivered me from that. I'm not ever going back to it. Why? Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, I said Galatians 2, so let's grab a verse there. Let's read 18. Galatians 2, 18 through 21, and then 3, 1. Galatians 2, 18 through 21, and then chapter 3, verse 1. That's really good, Rebecca. You're doing really good with those verses. Thank you. Sunday Geyser's with us. Hey, Sunday. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Sunday, Mary Pastorick, Brother Dave Billiards over here next door watching. Richard Winslow's watching. Bless you guys. Good to have you. Brother Dan's holding down Blog Talk Radio. And we got a visitor with us tonight on YouTube. Good to have you with us. And wherever you're streaming live with us from, we're glad to have you with us tonight. May God richly bless you. You don't have to sign in, but when we know who you are, then gives us the ability to pray for you. Here we go. Galatians 2, verse 17. No, wait, I said 18, didn't I? Yeah. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law, that I might live to God. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You want to say it with me? I have died, and Jesus is alive in me.
I have died, and Jesus is alive in me.
Amen. I had one of the great disciples I had back in Michigan, Brother Chalmer. God so transformed that man's life that one day one of his friends told me, he saw me somewhere and he stopped me. He goes, man, what did you do to Chalmer? I'm like, why? What do you mean? He goes, he's still driving a Ford truck. He's always got a Husqvarna in the back. He was a wood tick. And then he named about three or four other things about him that was always the same. But he said, that man that's walking around in the shell of that man and his body, that ain't the same man I knew growing up. I said, no, that man died, and that's the new man. And he said, and I like this new man. See, you and I got to realize Jesus didn't just save us to make us cute little Christians. He gave his blood and gave you all of his righteousness so that you can go and be strong and be him on this earth. You have been reconciled to a relationship with the Father. But Father doesn't say, it's all right. He doesn't. Jesus told us in John chapter 5, I only say what I hear my Father say. And Jesus is the one says, when an unclean spirit comes out, whether it's sickness, disease, infirmity, this thing with autism, these other, Jesus, help me get words for that deal. What is that? Anyways, these other spirits of infirmity that people have, whether they're a mongoloid or other things that are like that, once they're set free from it, you got to stay free. Because Jesus looked at this man who was sick, who was in this spirit of infirmity for 38 years, and he said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing, come upon you. And then he teaches the disciples right here that an unclean spirit is going to come back. It is going to endeavor to come back. And it's coming back, not only to come back, but it's coming back to bring seven more and make it that much more worse. That's why God had to start out with you and I. When we find any place the enemy's fighting us in our life, we stop it by our words and say, no weapon formed against me can prosper. And then we demand that the devil pay back seven times and double for the shame for what he's tried to steal from us. You and I got to have our eye so sober and vigilant when the enemy shows back up and tries to sift us that we're like, uh-uh, and you just tried to attack me seven times and double for the shame for that attack you just made against me. Hey, Kathy Sedani's here. Hi, Kathy. Good to have you, ma'am. God bless you, and God bless your son. I don't know if you've seen him in a while, but he is a wonderful neighbor to us. You have a wonderful son, Kathy. Good job. Ready? Let's read Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, Christ died in vain. Yeah, that's good. That's a good, that's probably what psychology calls it. I keep trying to put another title on it, Rebecca, but I think the spirit of infirmity just is going to be my term for all of it. All right, because it's all under the same thing, a spirit of infirmity, and it all has to go, and people must be set free in Jesus' mighty name. Chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, look at this word. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? He just used the bewitched word. Who has bewitched you? That's witchcraft. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. See, you and I got to get serious with ourselves, saying, wait a minute, the thief is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. Once I have life and life more abundantly, it is my responsibility in God and my stewardship to resist the devil every place where he's trying to come back on me and bring seven times back to me. It's my duty. It's your duty. This is a pretty interesting set of verses. Now, let's see this. Let's look at John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verses, well, we can't do that. Let's read the whole story. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. John chapter 8, 1 through 12. Hey, Kathy Marie Angaroni's here. Man, all the Kathys are here tonight. God bless you guys. Welcome, welcome. Good to see you, ma'am. God bless you. And the Zoom box is open if you want to be in here with us. Here we go. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act." Well, now how did they catch her in the very act, except one of them was laying with her? Yep, yep. Yep, I said it. And more preachers should be saying it, because those men were guilty, and they were guilty of entrapment. But see, according to the law, she should be stoned in the street right there. And the man she was laying with.
Yeah.
Both of them were. Aren't you glad that we got grace and mercy in our day so we don't have to be stoning people in the street? In the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 5, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? See, they're trying to trap him. They said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear what they said. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst, she's probably still naked. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you, but it's okay if you go and live in adultery.
No. It's hard to hit that button when you're trying to hit it. Go and sin no more.
Go and sin no more. Now, in this session, he didn't say, unless the worst thing come upon you, but that's what he said to the other guy. And that's what he said to Peter. Now, Peter, you're going to be sifted, but return. Come back to me. When you come back, you'll strengthen your brothers. Verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. See, when we truly get a revelation of what happens when we're born again, we're not going to be those who live in sin. And we most definitely won't go back and do the things that God had delivered us from when we were born again, filled with His Holy Spirit. And it's an erroneous doctrine that has to remove too many verses that teaches people, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. Let's look at a couple more verses here. First John chapter 3. First John chapter 3. This is a good word. Thank you, Father, for this word. I truly believe you need this set of verses, and you need to be able to have it and look at it and study it and get it in you so that the next time somebody says it to you, you can say, wait, let me share with you what the Holy Spirit shared with us in our time of ministry on that one night. And not only will you show it to them in the Bible, but you'll be able to hand them this video and say, take this video. It'll be a blessing to you. John chapter 3. And we're just going to read 1 through 9. John, 1 John 3, 1 through 9. 1 John 3, 1 through 9. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now, might want to circle that word, now are we the children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. What's John showing us? He's showing us that right now we are made just like Jesus. But then he also showing us that he's making a differentiation, that he's not talking about in the future when Jesus comes back. He's talking about right now. Verse 3, everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. Notice that him and that he is capitalized. The Father comes to live within you. Jesus comes to live within you. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. And according to the Word of God, you and I spend our lives for the rest of our life purifying ourselves. I wish that when we were born again and everything was made new, that automatically changed all of our mind and all of our soulish realm and everything about us. It's your soul that's going to give you your trouble, your mind, your will, your emotion, your feelings, your decision, your willpower, all of that. That's what's going to give you trouble. And what do you have to do? You have to renew your mind. You and I have to make the choice of renewing our mind. And what did John say? He who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Verse 4, whoever commits sins also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. It doesn't say sin before you're born again is lawlessness, but it's not afterward. Sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Jesus told that man at that well that day, go and sin no more. Jesus' very words to him to say to do it is what gave him the power to be able to do it. Jesus spoke it in a word. This is a good teaching. I'm going to get this one myself and study it again. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices sin, right, he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Jesus, is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. Now, let me encourage you in this. I know, I can tell, there's a few people already saying, Pastor, here you go on this one again. Really? Yeah. Why? Because the greatest place you'll ever get to is the revelation of the righteousness of God. It's the greatest place you're ever going to get to. Why? Because as soon as you come to that understanding of the righteousness of God, this will no longer be a battle to you. And you might say, well, how in the world am I going to get this revelation of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? I got 8 messages on it. And if Brother Roger gave us another 4 hours, Pastor, we might have 9 and have another one yet tonight. You can't do that. What? Why would Jesus say to that man, go and sin no more, unless it was possible? Jesus didn't just wander around making statements because he was bored and on that day he had nothing else to say, so he told him, go and sin no more. Jesus made that statement because Jesus knew that in his words, go and sin no more, was the power to go do it. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus has said it, that the Holy Spirit has said it, and that when you're born again, we are reconciled to God, and he comes and makes his abode within us, gives us that overcoming power to overcome all the power of the devil. Why? Because God is in us. You might be saying, and it's all right, if you have a question about this, put it in the comments. Let's ask it. Let's get this down inside of our life. This, in my lifetime, one of the great leaders of my life that was actually Dr. Barclay's father in the faith said, God knows the difference whether you're chasing sin or sin is chasing you. I'll just let that sit there for a minute. God knows the difference whether you're chasing sin or sin is chasing you. All of us must come to this understanding that the enemy is going to come and try to steal, kill, and destroy our life. He is going to do that. And you and I have got to be wise to it, because Jesus not only said, go and sin no more, he said, lest the worst thing come upon you. And the last condition of the man be worse than the first. Why? Because Jesus wants you and I walking in the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. Now, what you're going to have to do is put away all your books and open up this book and see what this book says, the Bible, so that you can live in the strength of the Bible, not in the confusion of religiosity. Let's go to that verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's good preaching. It's good word. You might say, Pastor, how can you say it's good preaching? Because the Holy Spirit's talking through my voice, and I am being inspired the whole time I'm talking right now. And you know what? People's lives are being set free right now. Right. What'd you say, Roger?
Get more fired up, Pastor.
Come on. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Watch this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Guys, we are there. We are there. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Paul said to Timothy, from such people, turn away. Why? Verse 7, they are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, you might say, yeah, but Pastor, I got this one sin that I can't seem to get over. Hey, Scott, how you doing tonight, buddy? Good to see you. I call you blessed. I call Denise blessed and all the kids and your job and your Harley. In the mighty name of Jesus. Love you, man. Now, the greatest thing that we're going to get from tonight is Jesus told us to go and sin no more. That means it's possible to do. And he said that a worse thing may come on me. And I don't want to fight. How about you? Are you like me? I don't want to fight anything worse than what I've already fought in my life. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth.
Why? Because I fought some pretty serious spiritual battles in my lifetime. I don't want it to be worse than that. And Jesus said that the thief is coming back to steal, kill, and destroy. And he called it a demon. And he said, it's going to come back. And it's not trying to come back one time. It's trying to come back seven times worse. And you don't want what you've already faced to be seven times worse, neither do I. So what is the answer? It's not fear, and it's not condemnation, because neither of those work. It is coming back to the fact that his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And when I take his yoke on me, I find rest to my soul, and there's nothing for me to do except just receive Jesus, who he is. And then no matter whether you understand it or not, walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you might say, Pastor, this sounds too hard. What is the option? What's the option? That the devil beats the snot out of you the rest of your life? No. Open up the book and find out what it says. Every one of you that's here can ask any question you want about any part of this, and I'm going to teach you the things of God just like they've been taught to me, and I will see you a mighty warrior in God, and you'll never lose another day in your life if you just get the revelation. But there's only one way to get it, and that is open up the book, read what's on that page, take some notes, put it in an orderly manner, and then begin to get that revelation down in here. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. When you were born again, you were given the measure of faith. Did I send this to somewhere? Did I tell you to go to a certain Bible verse?
Not yet.
All right. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. But all of you are spiritual, so I'm sure you already knew where I was going. Now, you might say, Pastor, who are you preaching this at? I'm not preaching this at anybody. That's the cool thing. I'm getting this message preached right now when there ain't nobody that I know of that's in this battle like this. But we got to look at this and say, hold it. I got to deal with me. And I got to start watching for that enemy because he's coming back after me. Jesus told Peter that Satan has tried to sift you. But I have prayed for you, and I've prayed for every one of you. Here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say to you, through the grace given to me, every one of you among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think soberly. Look at what it says. As God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. God has already given you by a free gift the measure of faith that you will need to make it throughout your whole life. Now you and I take that measure as a good steward and begin to grow it and develop it and get the understanding of what God's doing. Say it. The faith is already in me. The faith is already in me. Jesus gave it to me. Some of you may not even be like what you would consider a super duper wild, amazing, crazy believer. But if you have been born again, God gave you a free gift. And that is faith. But Pastor, what do I have to do to receive it? Just put your hands out and receive it. Yeah, but what do I have to do to earn it? Nothing. You have to receive it. It's a free gift. If I were to give to you a $100 bill tonight and I just put it out until it leaves my hand into your hand, my gift is still in my hand. You just have to receive it. Pastor, it's got to be more difficult than this. No, it is not. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to hit my five verses real quick. The five times Romans 5 calls it a free gift. Romans 5, verses 15 through 21. Goodness sakes alive, we're hammering the scripture tonight, aren't we?
Amen.
Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word.
Love the word. I love the word.
How about I love the majestic word?
All of you over on Facebook, somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the majestic word.
Amen. The majestic word of God. I like that statement, Radley. Amen, Sister Kathy Angaroni. Amen. It's good to see you, ma'am. We've been missing you this week, but it's all right.
You're going to say that chapter and verse again. Romans, what was it? 5?
Romans 5, 15 through 21. Rebecca. Now, I'm going to show you the free gift of righteousness. Now watch. Verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, how much more the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Adam sinned and affected the whole world. Jesus is righteous. It's made available to the whole world. Verse 16. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. Ready? But the free gift which came from the many offenses resulted in justification. And 16. He called righteousness a free gift. 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, that's what causes you to sin. We're in that battle with you, sister. You give us any kind of understanding of it, we're at war with you and for you, alongside of you, Kathy. We love you. Death reigned through the one. How much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. So you didn't just get righteousness, you got abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. Verse 15, 16, and 17 have all called it a free gift. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, obedience, where am I at? Righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life, just as if you never sinned. Thank you, Jesus, for the free gift of your righteousness and your grace. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, you can literally say here, the free gift of grace much more abounded. Because that's what Paul's calling it all the way down through here. 21, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Say it with me. I receive the free gift of righteousness.
I receive the free gift of righteousness. Thank you.
Yes, you did. And it even shows on your face.
Amen. Honey, someday I'm going to tell you how many times God has saved my life and saved my soul. Amen. Someday we're going to have a chat.
All right. That's awesome. And, you know, I think that when we get to heaven and can, I don't know that this will happen because there's no sorrow in heaven. But this is my humanness, my explanation of humanness. And we're watching the reviews of our life. And I don't have a chapter and verse for that, but that's what I see. We're going to look.
I think that all memory of the things that hurt real bad, caused trauma real deep, all those things are going to be gone. They're not going to remain in my mind.
Right. Right. And righteousness, his righteousness, the throne of God is built on the righteousness and justice. And so, he throws it in the sea of its forgetfulness and forgets it forever. And yet, I believe we're going to talk. And I got to find a verse for it because I can't send you to one right now. But I believe we're going to be talking about our victories and how we won. And God very specifically taught the children of Israel to talk about the victory of the Red Sea all through their life. And the children of Israel who walked with God never forgot the victories of their fathers that came out of slavery and across the Red Sea. They talked about it their whole life. And they're still talking about it today. Why? Because that's the answer for them. That's the answer for winning, is that you never let that go. And you hold on to that and remember what it is he's done for you. Now, let's put this all in one big circle, because I want to add one more, couple more verses here. So add to this Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Now, I'm not going to go there and preach all that. I just want you to have that in your notes so that the next time you come to this, you have the ability to have that in your notes and you'll pull them that with it, because it's all a part of this teaching. Now, I think tonight I've actually preached about three different messages. But by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I put it all together in one so that you can sit down and listen to this again. Remember one time Dr. Barclay was preaching about soul ties and severing soul ties. Man, I just did not get that message he was preaching at all. It was just interesting. I just did not get it. But I got the tape, because that was back when tapes were out. I got the tape, and I listened to it over and over and over. Probably wore that tape out. Then I bought the CD set when that came out and listened to it over and over. And now it's on YouTube, so I can go back and watch it on YouTube. Why? Because I wanted to get the revelation that God was speaking to the man of God through me. He's my pastor. He's the apostle. He's my prophet. Therefore, I'm going to receive that from him. When I receive a righteous man, in the name of that righteous man, I'll receive that righteous man's reward. When I receive him, the prophet, in the name of the prophet, I receive the prophet's reward. And Jesus says faith comes by hearing and hearing by, or the Holy Spirit, by Paul wrote, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Therefore, when you get a message like this, it's like, well, I can see there's an answer in here, but I'm not getting it. Then spend the next couple of days re-listening to this over and over and over again. Now, but Pastor, there's a lot on Facebook and I can't ever find it. I didn't turn YouTube on tonight until it's just the message. So what's on YouTube is just going to be the teaching. You can start right at the beginning and go through every bit of it. As you do, put in some timestamps and make it so it's enjoyable for the next person who comes along and is listening to and studying this in Jesus' mighty name. And most of all, write down every question right now that this has brought up inside of you and share it with me so that I can bring it to the body and share that question, and then we'll be able to help many people. I feel like I'm reliving everything that happened with my mom. It was June last year when my sister brought my mom here after she finished chemo and she was good. By mid-July, it went downhill. Well, there you go. And that is a trauma because of realizing my mom's going to be gone. And the enemy is going to try to bring all that traumatic thought process and everything back on you for one reason, because he wants to stop your spiritual growth. And right now, let's all of us put our faith with Sister Kathy right now. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we, the community of faith, speak over our dear sister right now tonight. You said that you came to heal the brokenhearted. You said you came to set at liberty those who were bruised. You came to set the captives free. You gave us the assignment to pour in the healing balm of Gilead, to let the oppressed free, to bring beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Right now, everybody just lift your hands towards Sister Kathy. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I lay my hand on my sister. Oh, I'm not there, but in the realm of the spirit and in the natural, I lift my hand to my sister and I declare right now the power of that grief is broken in your life and you will not relive it. You will rejoice because your mom's in heaven. You will rejoice in your spiritual growth and the victory of Almighty God would be yours. And by his stripes, you are totally and completely made whole in all of your body. Body, receive the healing power of God that is flowing through me right now to my sister and to anyone else who's in a like situation like this one tonight. I proclaim it. I declare it. I announce it. In the mighty name of Jesus, by his stripes, you are healed and you will no longer be bound by this trauma. Trauma, I bind your power. Get off of her life now. Any of you that are dealing with a traumatic event that happened to you and you can feel it's still got power over you, lift your hands and say, I receive this prayer. Right now, in the name of Jesus, release yourself from these people's lives. And I declare that by the power of the Holy Spirit, right now, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. And you are set free in Jesus' mighty name. I adjure you. You foul spirit of grief and trauma, you release your grip from their life. They'll no longer be bound by it. They have received, say this, I have received, go ahead, say it, guys. I have received, go ahead, fellas, just put your mic on, say it with me.
Okay, I have received
the free gift of righteousness.
The free gift of righteousness.
And the abundance of grace.
And the abundance of grace.
All of the blood of Jesus washing me.
All of the blood of Jesus washing.
Every part of my life.
Every part of my life.
I am made whole.
I am made whole.
And I will never surrender my position.
And I will never surrender my position.
Another day of my life.
Another day of my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
I speak life and life more abundantly over every one of you right now.
I speak life and life more abundantly over
everyone,
all of us, each one of us right now.
In Jesus' mighty name. In
Jesus'
mighty
name.
In Jesus'
mighty name. Amen.
Amen, 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 and amen. You know, everybody deals with sorrow in a different way, in grief. And they've tried to write many books to tell you it's okay, it's all right that it's beating you up, and you'll just feel terrible, but you should survive. But if not, get some drugs. And I got a word for you. The Apostle Paul said, sorrow not as those who have no hope. And when you and I have hope and we know where they are, sure, we miss them. Certainly, I miss my dad. I would love to be able to see my dad. But guess what? Sorrow ain't going to get me. And grief is not going to get me. They are wicked enemies, and you crush them under your foot just like you would a rattlesnake. Take your hoe and your shovel and your axe to the thing. Chop it up in little pieces. Make it so that it's fertilizer in the grass underneath your foot, because that enemy would try to really try to stop you and destroy the things of your life. So in Jesus' mighty name, we declare over everybody. Now listen, I heard Sister Nancy make this statement today from her camp meeting. And I really want to say this, and guys, if you don't hear me say it, remind me to say it, or you say it. It doesn't matter when you listen to this video. This prayer I just prayed is as powerful when you hear it and you need it in the future as it is right now when I just prayed it. Why? Because this video is a container of all these words from God. God didn't set this up for Hollywood. God gave us video, audio, and a channel that records it all. He gave it to us so we could preach the gospel. It's not for all the perversion they're using it for. We're going to preach the gospel with it. And this anointing is here. Mark this day on your calendar. Make a note of this. Copy this link to these videos. I put it in the family thread for all of you that are part of our family thread. And if you're not a part and you'd like to become a part, we welcome you, man, male and female, men and women. You are welcome to be a part of our family thread, which is a messenger thread where we just pray for each other and talk about each other. And it's pretty cool. This week we got to see little Emily May born and coming to the earth, and we'll begin to see more pictures of her. And now she's got a big old family, and we're all going to be praying over her all the days of her life, that she'll grow and be strong in God. Think about all the kids we got. Phyllis has got like 150 grandkids herself.
Well, if you count a great-great and the great, and it's about 75,
all right.
Wow, oh my goodness.
75, and my mom's got 80, you know, 80 of us now, and Sister Rebecca has like 60 or 70. No, see, this is how this family works. It's we're going to stand alongside of each other, and I'm really glad you brought this to us tonight, Kathy, and shared it with us, because we're here as your strength. We're here as your strength. I know as your pastor, you're not going to understand everything I say to you every time. I know that. But I want you to understand it. And so at the times when you don't understand, or you might even say, Pastor, I've been dealing with this same thing over and over, and I don't even want to come to you with it. Well, okay, but let's get free. Let's not be bound by anything. Let's be free in all of our life. So never hesitate to come and say, I didn't understand that. You'll never get a day of condemnation out of me. What's cool about this message tonight, I use the references of cursing or coarse jesting or perversion because those are simple for everybody to understand. I have no judgment against anybody that's in that battle. Zero. I am here to help you get free. And I will stand alongside of you until you are free. You got to keep coming here because it's not right in God that I chase you. My place is to be the shepherd, and I will shepherd any and every one of us all the time. Amen. Amen. And you have freedom now, and we'll give you some of these verses. Remind me, Kathy, just like I've sent you some other verse lists before. Get them back out and speak them. Speak them boldly. And we'll get you one that deals with grief. And also, remember, anytime you're dealing with grief, you bind the spirit of grief. Every one of you. You meet anybody that's talking about how they're missing their loved one, you bind that spirit of grief and get bold with it. Because it's a demonic spirit that's coming back to destroy. And the Bible says he's coming back with seven more. And he wants to truly mess your life up. And so you drive that thing off like a demon every day, and you say, you don't get in my life.
Okay, now where did you go in Hebrews to read something? I missed out on a couple of minutes of something important there. A few minutes ago, I had to get up and tend to that noisy dog.
Okay, that was Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 11.
Okay,
but I didn't. All right. I didn't preach it or teach it at all. I just gave it to you so it's in your notes. And that was all put together in a verse list so that you can have that to study the next time you're studying this in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. Now, let's pray and close this part, and then we'll receive communion together. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, in the name of Jesus right now, thank you that you brought this revelation to us. Thank you. Thank you that tonight, every person who has been a part of this program, whether a short time or a long time, are still with us. We love every one of them, and we bless them. Lord, there's some we haven't seen for a long time. We miss them. We pray that you help them find a way to come back and say hi, come back and be a part, because we love them. Bless them. Father, I pray right now that every person within the sound of my voice gets this revelation of the free gift of righteousness. It's a free gift. You give it to them. It's not like they got to struggle with this. You give them righteousness. It fills their life. And they can walk in Jesus' righteousness. Lord, help me as a teacher, as a pastor, to teach it more simply the next time I'm teaching it. Teach it with more grace and mercy and love and greater faith and greater accuracy and simplicity. And most of all, Jesus, help all of us to stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, helping everybody stand up so that we can see the truth of your word. We thank you for it. We give you glory and honor and praise for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. 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 I want to encourage every one of you that as you live your Christian life, remember, there's no reason to be isolated by yourself. We're here for you. You don't have to come and share all the details of your life with us. but come and share with us. I'm in a battle. Then we'll help you with that battle, and we'll fight alongside of you. If you're a female and you're like, Pastor, I don't feel comfortable emailing you and texting and all that, you can email Sister Leanne, and she'll pray with you and be a blessing to you. Most of all, make sure that every day you're receiving communion and you're back in front of Jesus and the Father saying, I don't see this yet, but I know you're the most loving Father there is. Help me walk in the freedom of your grace. And then realize that no matter how long, the Father's got to continually talk to you and show you and lead you and instruct you. He is going to do that. He's going to keep teaching you from this point on and the rest of your life. You are in the greatest relationship of a father and son or father and daughter that there could ever be. You've been reconciled to Father God. And he loves you. And his every thought about you is victory and deliverance and peace and strength and growth and development in him. That's his every thought. It's religion and the spirit of religion that condemns. He doesn't condemn you. He convicts your heart and says, don't do that. But he will never condemn you. And neither will we. Because you're our brothers and our sisters. And we are doing this thing together in Jesus' mighty name. Well, it's now time to receive communion. So get your communion elements. I got to stand up for a minute here. It's sunset time here in North Dakota, and I love to see the North Dakota sunsets. And so I just opened that window, and the sun sets right up over there on top of that hill, and it's beautiful. Of course, it is 10 after 10, and we still got a full bunch of daylight out there, so. I love North Dakota's summertime. Now, all y'all got to hurry up and get here because the 21st of June is the longest day of the year, and you want to make sure you're here for that. Happy Father's Day to all of you that are fathers, if I don't get to see you. All of you ladies that made somebody a father, happy Father's Day to your father. Jesus' mighty name. Go ahead, Roger. Or are you just praising the Lord? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, for those of you that are new, this is how our communion process works. I'm going to read the Bible. So we got a good foundation of God's holy word. I never know who's here. So we just go through the same thing every time. We're going to read the verses in the Bible. Then I'm going to lead you into prayer of salvation, give you about 2 minutes of instruction, bless the elements, and we'll receive them together. Take somewhere between 10 and 45 minutes to do that. Because if the Holy Spirit breaks out, we might roll around on the floor laughing. That's happened a couple of times right in the middle of communion. And it was a good, good time of the Holy Spirit ministering to us. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. Now you get to examine yourself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, verse 31, we would not be judged. Hey, thank you, Sunday, for the verses over there on YouTube. Good to see you, ma'am. God bless you. We love you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, Jesus, so are we in this world. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love in Jesus by the name. Now, those of you that are new to us, we're going to pray the prayer of salvation now. Doesn't matter what background you come from. Doesn't matter what sin you've ever committed. Our God will receive anyone who wants to have him in their life. And what's going to happen right now is all of your sins are going to be washed away. And Jesus' blood is going to make you brand new. And God Almighty is going to come and live on the inside of you. You ready? Pray this prayer. Everybody pray it with me. You guys on Zoom, kick your mic on and pray with me if you will. So we got somebody praying along. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Put your arms out like this and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and all of your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
And pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. I agree, Audrey. All of your love, Lord. Now, what's amazing about what just happened to you? You are experiencing it. Something's going on the inside of you. And you might be like, wow, Pastor, what is this? Well, you just said to God, I want you, Jesus, to come into my life. And you said all of your grace, mercy, love, and righteousness. And when you ask God to fill you with that, he does it, like right now. He was standing there waiting for you to ask him. What's amazing is I've been a believer now for 47 years. And every time we pray that, I get the same experience all over again. On the inside of me. Why? Because I'm not only saying it to lead you into prayer. I am a believer. And I mean it all over again in my life. I receive all of your love, your mercy, your grace, and your righteousness into my life at 47 years as a believer. That's an amazing thing. And God gives you another level. Every time you ask him, he's going to come and he's going to do a work inside of you. You just got all of God. Jesus is the light of the world and he just filled you. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith and he just filled you. Every part of you. His righteousness just drove out every sin. And they're thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you another day. Somebody ought to shout, glory be to God or something. It's amazing what God does. Jesus, you have been adopted into the family of God right now. You are literally an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Like, really? And God Almighty now lives within you. And now he's going to lead you in here. Your resident teacher, the Holy Spirit, is in here leading you from the inside out. How amazing is that? That's amazing. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't understand it. I know. We've got lots of videos that will help you just start here. And you just listen to them. And as you listen, revelation knowledge will come to you. You'll hear other people talking and asking questions. And as they do, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's right. I need to know that, too. And it'll be an encouraging process to you, just like tonight. And now you've got the life of God. And your righteousness in your own strength and ability will never be good enough. Receive Jesus' righteousness. Because he didn't fail. He was sinless. And he just gave it to you as a free gift to now live by it. I know that might be a new thought process to you. And you might say, I don't even know how to do that. Just wake up every day and say, God, help me walk with you today. And he will help you walk with him every day. And come walk with us. We want to help you in Jesus' name. You ready? Let's hold up our communion elements, and we will bless them, and then we'll receive them. Pray this prayer with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
And in the body of Christ in my community.
And in the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen. Let's receive his broken amen. Body together. The cross. Despising the shame. You did it all for us. You did it all for us. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray it with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed
by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am free indeed.
I am free indeed.
Free indeed.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have been passed away.
Old things have been passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
In my life right now.
In my life right now.
Oh my, it's wonderful. And make sure you're saying this in faith, guys. By the blood of Jesus. I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus.
I overcome.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague. Every plague has to pass over.
And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
Or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
A glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Or any other blemish.
Or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
Come for me, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Amen. Let's receive this bloodshed. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Makes me want to sing that song we keep playing with Charity Gale. I just don't know it good enough. I got to hear it a few more times, but let's sing the blood of Jesus. Let's sing power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil of victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Woo! Glory be to God. Some people say, Pastor, why do you shout? Because I realize I've been free from all sin and all that battle. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for what Jesus has done in your life? I am glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice. Phyllis started singing it. Right out of my, I don't know about putting words in somebody's mouth. That can't be sanitary. God bless you, Sunday, for putting those verses in. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you.
What about me?
And you too, Rebecca. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I haven't learned how to put the verses in with my tablet yet. I'm going to have to practice with this thing.
You'll get good at it, Phyllis. Are you liking it?
I'm getting used to it.
That's good. I'll have to send me a picture of it someday. I'll tell you what, I am so serious about discipleship and helping people that I keep asking God that give me a connection, because I would like to be able to send a tablet like you got to anybody who wants to join to be a part of our program regularly. And have all of the apps and everything so that when that person gets that from me, they are set and ready to study the Bible and grow in God. Wouldn't that be a cool thing to be able to do?
Nice.
You know, the first guy that said, let's take Bibles to the villages where nobody's ever taken them, he didn't ask God for anything smaller or bigger than what I just asked for.
And, right.
You know, I have friends that back in the day in Alaska, they would take their Piper Cub and they would fly up the rivers and fly over top of the Indian villages and send little parachutes of Bibles down into the villages where they didn't have a landing strip.
Wow.
And they did it in South America and in Central America and many places like that. People have been spent a lot of money to get the gospel out. But it's in God. God doesn't look at it as a lot of money. He just said, that's my assignment. Go do it. And I keep asking him for it, because wouldn't it be cool if you could just get a tablet in the mail and all you had to do was turn it on and everything you needed to be connected to us was already done?
Yep, it'd be nice.
In Jesus' name, we receive it. And we receive a good deal to get it done on. And Father, send us somebody in Apple and send us somebody in Android that will be able to give us a connection where we can just send this to people and you're already ready. And just study the Word of God in Jesus'
Amen.
Mighty name. Well, Sister Phyllis, you got your verses?
Absolutely, honey. Jude 20 through 25.
All right.
But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to look at this. Since that says to God our Savior, that's Jesus, who alone is wise, so you got wisdom, glory, majesty, dominion, and power. I want you to see something. Since that's who Jesus is, and as he is, so we are, all of those things are supposed to be in us and shining out from us.
Amen.
Now, we're not him, but we're supposed to be wise. Glory is supposed to be on us. He said, I give you my glory, which will automatically make the majesty show up. Majesty is when you and I are performing the signs, wonders, and miracles. Dominion and power, we're already functioning in that. We did that with Sister Kathy and anybody else that was dealing with grief. And then it says, both now and forever. And you and I are functioning that right now, right here, today, and it will be forever. In Jesus' mighty name. One more thing to do. Everybody put your hands out and say this. Say, Father, I sow my time.
Father, I sow my time.
Into this gospel ministry.
Into this gospel ministry.
And I receive my hundredfold return.
I receive my hundredfold return.
That you have for me.
That you have for me.
Now in this lifetime.
Now in this lifetime.
I don't want it stored up in heaven.
I don't want it stored away in heaven.
I want it to be used on this earth.
I want it to be used on this earth. Now.
To preach the gospel every day.
To preach the gospel every day.
Every day.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Now, let's pray over our families. Father, help my family know you.
Father, help my family know you.
I just gave my time to other people's family.
I just gave my time to other people's family.
And I receive that harvest into my own.
And I receive that harvest into my own.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
How do you like that?
Amen.
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 You know, we're finally getting you to shout, Rebecca. It's taken us a while, but we got all that old starchy religion out of you.
I got it. I'm kind of quiet sometimes, but when I get going,
Amen, Sunday. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Audrey, Sister Kathy, Angaroni, all y'all. Let me see. Maybe there's got some other folks that showed up over here. Kathy and Audrey and Brother Scott, Cheryl, bless you. Kathy Sadati, God bless you, Kathy. We bless you and your family. Brother Dave Villiard, love you. Mary Pastorek, love you. Richard Winslow, we love you and bless you. Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, all our friends on Facebook, YouTube, and Blog Talk Radio. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. Tomorrow, we'll be here. We'll be on our platforms at noon Eastern time. And we're going to be at Hardy's again. And you're listening, and she's listening, and you're preaching. Amen, Audrey. Preach away, ma'am. Preach away. All of us will become preachers. You guys are going to get more bored and courageous than you've ever been. So we'll see you tomorrow morning at Hardy's. Make sure you're there bright and early, noonish, on the spot. And we'll be eating sausage and biscuits gravy tomorrow. Biscuits and sausage gravy there. And we'll be right there in Hardy's and having a good time.
Y'all come back now, Jeff.
And you too, Roger.
Hey, Roger.
And you
happy
too.
Happy Father's Day to everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Rebecca.
Happy Father's Day to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
God's blessing all.
Happy Father's Day to you, Brother Dan. And all y'all made somebody a father, so happy Father's Day to all of you.
See you later.
All right. See you soon. See you in a few minutes. We'll see you. Wait a minute. In a couple minutes, we'll see you for Read the Word. And then
Okay. Remember
this. We say this all the time, every time we're on here. Say it with me. We love you.
We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
God loves you.
And Jesus is always Lord. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. I call you blessed, Roger, and you too, Phyllis. Anything else you guys got to say?
I got to get up early in the morning and go to church.
All right. You better get some sleep then.
Okay.
All right. Love you. See you.
I just hope that everything starts working properly with my phone.
You were on pretty good tonight, weren't you?
Yeah, but Facebook kind of kicked me off. Every time I did a comment, it was gone.
Well, you're such a violent and rabble rouser, you know, Roger. You're such a rabble rouser. But
you're just gonna have to change your name again, baby.
Amen. Amen. All right. See you guys soon.
Good night.
Good night. Now, no more playing around. That's interesting. So, Brother Dan, are you still there? Can you still hear me?